Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. It is May 22nd, 2023. You got your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the mic. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We're going to be taking your calls in just a little bit, 424-2600. This is your show. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. We want you to get in the game. We'll be talking to you in a little bit. We'll have Seth join us as well. Talk about some losing an icon this weekend in the NFL world. We're going to touch on that. Got to talk about the NBA playoffs, and we have to talk rafters. And we're going to do that with some people that, you know, aren't just going to be a homer like me and just ramble at everything. We've got actual people here. Let's go ahead and let you guys introduce yourselves right out the gate.
Yeah, of course. Good to be back again. Yeah. A couple times now on the show. Tyler Miller, operations manager for the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, third season here in Rapids, so super excited.
Tyler, getting used to saying that?
Right? Yeah, I am.
It takes a little while.
It does.
I want the audience to hear that voice and know right away who it is. So I appreciate you introducing yourself, getting you familiar with the audience and everything. Going to be here a long time, so we want to keep this going and everything. Thank you, Tyler, for being here. Good to see you, brother.
No, good to see you as well. I love the jersey.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much. Brought in a new friend of ours.
We got
a new friend here. Introduce yourself, my man.
Yeah, I'm Joey Fear. I am the new radio voice for the Wisconsin Rapid Rafters. Just excited to be here.
All right, Joey, your voice is too good. Like, I can't be talking and then have you. Like, it's not fair to the audience. My voice doesn't at all hold up to where yours is. You're also, what, 15? What are you? I'm joking. I'm kidding. You're young. How old are you?
I'm actually 22.
Right on, brother. Yeah, right on. Yeah. Matt, with that voice, though, you sound like a seasoned vet.
Yeah.
You have a nice voice. It is interesting how quickly that is one of the first steps of, hey, do I want to do this? Do I want to call games? I want to put you on the spot for a second, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
I want to get a little bit of your origin story. But does it start there for you? Because I've heard Vin Scully. I've heard some greats talk about, like, Vin Scully's dad told him, hey, you're pretty good at this. You should do this for a living and everything. There's a parallel universe where we didn't even get what maybe the greatest to ever do this. Was it like that for you? Did somebody say to you early on, did you hear something in your voice like, oh, I like this?
Yeah, no, I just, I don't know. I just kind of got into it. I obviously a big sports fan growing up. And just kind of really got into sports broadcasting because, I mean, growing up watching, you know, Saturday night college football and, like, NBA playoffs, like, my favorites, Mike Breen, you know, Kirk Herbstreit, Chris Fowler. Listening to those guys really just kind of inspired me to, like, really, like, wow, like, maybe I can try this. And really kind of got into it. And then from there, just really just kind of blossomed into it, yeah.
Very cool. Joey, tell us a little bit about your background, your origin story, where you're from and all that.
Yeah, so originally from Denver, Colorado. Went to Washington State my freshman year. I was actually a psychology major. Way different. And then went to transfer to Ohio State my sophomore year. That was kind of COVID year. So just kind of a little bit different, kind of figuring everything out. And then switched my major to sport industry. And then really wanted to go into broadcasting. And I was like, let me just try it. And then really started doing it and just fell in love with it.
How were your parents when you told them you switched majors? I'm joking. I'm trying to think of, like, okay, because I know a number. I teach acting and I work in a lot of the entertainment industry, and I know a lot of people that flip from one field to a completely other one. And you don't. I always like seeing the connections. A good therapist is a good listener.
Yeah.
And a good observer.
Yeah.
And that is certainly two key things you need as an announcer. So actually, I can see a little tie in there. I can see some connection there. That's pretty cool. And thank you for sharing that so much. You are going to notice, not so much in the summer here, but a little weather similarities. I've got some friends from the Denver area that say there's some similarities here weather-wise with us and them and everything. You mentioned some of the announcers that you grew up. Are those some of your bigger influences? Do you have, like, this is my big influence. This is my guy. This is my person. Like,
I would say definitely, like, Mike Breen, voice of the NBA Finals. Like, definitely for me, like, huge basketball fan, especially with the Nuggets doing so well right now, and he's been calling the games. So just, like, listening to him, it's just, for me, I just, like, he brings the game to life. And, like, there's a lot of announcers that, like, I've seen that are just, like, kind of dead, like, when watching the game. He definitely is somebody, like, him, Chris Fowler, obviously a huge one as well. Love listening to those guys because it's like, wow, like, seeing those guys, like, makes myself be like, wow, like, I could do that one day. So, like, it's awesome.
I do this weird thing with announcing where I don't do it so much with sports. Almost every athlete I've ever seen, like, okay, even if they strike out every time I see them up there or something like that, well, that person is talented. I never question their skill. I never question their heart or their talent or any of those things. But announcers, I seem to have a harder kind of like bar for, where it's like I hear certain announcers and I'm kind of like, I'm just mute. Like, I don't really want to hear it or anything like that. But when it comes to like what you think makes a good announcer, is it pace? Is it time? Is it being having a catchphrase? I mean, what for you makes a good announcer?
Definitely the voice. Like, definitely want to listen to somebody with like a good voice, and then being able to kind of express themselves in like big moments, like the big play or the big catch or the big shot, whatever it happens, having them kind of bring that moment to life.
Yeah.
And letting also the crowd kind of being also that like third party as well, and not talking too much over the crowd and not like allowing themselves to talk, but having it also bringing their color guy as well, having good conversation with them as well, because that's a big thing. Not loving to hear themselves talk is another thing as well.
Very well said.
Yeah.
I think that latter part gets a little lost on some nowadays, and I'm so cool to hear you say that, Matt. That's very cool. It's interesting. The first rule of journalism is the story can't be about you. Yeah. Don't make the story about you. And it's very similar with announcing, I think.
Yeah.
That's really cool to hear. It's very insightful from somebody who is new in this industry or growing in this industry. Yeah. That's going to benefit you a long ways, man.
Well, and even on the hiring side of that, it's my job to sort through 50 some resumes and kind of look at that. And so on my side, I got his clips and his radio clips and closed my eyes and seeing if I could picture the game from what he was saying. That's kind of the first step of what I do before I even chat with them, is go through, their reels and highlights and their Twitter pages and kind of see how they present themselves as an announcer and how they tell the story of the game. I mean, last year we had a great storyteller. Previous year had a great storyteller. I mean, it seems like we get super blessed and lucky with the radio announcers that we bring here to Wisconsin Rapids that continue to tell stories of Rapids.
Tyler and I, our chemistry is already growing. That was my next question. That was exactly what I had lined up, is how you pick an announcer.
Yeah.
I think that's really, thank you for sharing that with us.
No, yeah.
Our audience loves seeing how the sausage is made, looking behind the curtain and all that. And I think it's very interesting. How many people, like, you don't have to give me an exact number, but a lot of names you went through?
It was. I mean, again, I'll be completely honest. Out of our 12 internships that we bring on, the first ones we fill are the TV and radio broadcasters. They are the most competitive. And again, there's a lot of them out there. I was up above 50.
I believe
in
that.
The first month of doing it. And Joey was hired really early.
People send you resumes? Do the people send you, or do you look for them? Do you?
It's a lot of kind of both. Okay. Actually, I mean, I believe Joey was one that reached out to us via email rather than even filling out an application.
Cool.
I believe so.
Yeah, that's correct.
I got an email forwarded to me, and again, honestly, that's what takes that next step. It's somebody that reaches out to personally rather than just, fill out the application online, kind of hope that I see it. Reaching out, resume, clips, Twitter page attached, already went to kind of the top of my list.
Yeah.
And Tyler mentioning something there, Joey, I should warn you, I'm still friends with all the Rafter announcers. Like, we still tweet with each other. We still talk and everything. So I might know each other for a while, just to warn you.
I'm excited for it.
Because, we've had so many great announcers. We've been very lucky with this. And I like to always bring attention to this, too, because I think it's so cool what the Northwoods League does with this. The Northwoods League is so much helping people chase down that dream still, achieve those things and hunt for those things. We understand that athletically, but it's also gives a great springboard for people like yourself, Joey, and that kind of thing too. That's, I think, an important, cool part of what that they're doing it for the athletes, but also the front office, for the announcers, all of these things too.
No, I mean, you hit it right on the head. I mean, that's what this league is, from top down. I mean, we wouldn't be able to run the team without interns, all 13 of them that we have.
Yeah.
And it's not just the broadcasters. It's the marketing team that move on. I mean, again, I try to do it every day, of go through the list of people that have been through Rapids. And it's amazing to see that, the list of where they move on to and what they're doing now. I mean, again, we've got people in the MLB, NFL, NBA working for teams that have came through Rapids. And same thing on the player side. It's like we've got, I think right now we have 10 or 12 that are on an active roster in minor and major leagues, which is incredible to see.
Well, and the streak will continue with Joey here and everything, because we've had no bad announcers.
No.
Like, all you guys are great. All you guys are coming in here with some experience, with some seasoning, while also getting some reps. That's what all of this is about. I first started in radio, and I talked like this, and I tried very hard to sound like a radio announcer all the time, and it got old very quick. You eventually find your voice. You eventually find your way, and it just takes reps.
Yeah.
And the more and more you do it, the more and more you're going to feel better about it. Now, not all of the announcing is going to be on Joey here. We have two other announcers that will be doing this too, although I do like the idea of him having to just trying to do all three, TV and radio at the same time. Like that. No, I don't want you to do that, though. Yeah. I don't want you to go through that. Let's talk about our other announcers real quick, Tom.
Yeah, so actually there was a change on the TV side. Okay. Carter Gledhill, who was our voice of the Rafters last year on the TV side, we had him originally coming back and kind of spending some time. He's moved on, graduated, and found a full-time position down at Belmont University, and I totally wish him the best, and that was always the deal going into it was, look, I want the best for you, and if you find an opportunity, take that. So we will just have the one voice on the TV side. Kevin Malader is our TV broadcaster from Arizona State University, so in the Cronkite School of Media and all that fun stuff. And same thing, he was one that didn't even apply. He kind of sent an email to us and expressed his interest and expressed his research that he did on the team and understood what coming here could mean to him in his career. So we're super excited. They're going to tag team a lot of stuff on the media relations side of it with press releases and stat packs and all that fun stuff. And you'll be hearing kind of lots of them as the voices of the Rafters, one on the TV and one on the radio side.
Carter's a great guy. He is going places. Both of our announcers last year are going to be household names any day now. they're that good. And wishing him well. But very excited about Kevin joining. That's very cool, and looking forward to meeting him and talking with him more and hearing him calling games a lot more. And Joey, have you gotten most of your early career here? Have you just done radio? Have you done TV? A little bit of both?
Yeah, so I've done both. So I've done Scarlet and Gray Sports Radio, which is basically Ohio State student station. And then also I've done Big Ten Plus, which is Big Ten Network streaming side. So I've been doing a lot of that for Ohio State, basically just getting a ton of reps in, like you said, and then just growing a lot. So I've been super excited. The moment I found out I was coming to Rapids, I was so ecstatic, and I'm like, wow, like 72 games, which is a lot of games, but which is, again, building those reps is huge. And I don't know another sport like baseball where you can get so many reps in so little time. So that is a big thing.
I've talked to a number of announcers, including some guys that we have on the air with us here and everything. They've been doing it for a long time. I've heard Bob Uecker talk about this. One of the best things for a young announcer is to call baseball.
Yeah.
Like, even if that's not where you plan to go with your career, it's just such a so many other sports, you don't have to worry about filling time. The game does that. It's moving so at a pace and everything. Baseball, even with modern baseball now, with the game speeding up and everything, which is cool and all, but even with that, pace is so important to that.
Yeah.
And I find a little acting in that. I find a little bit of that, which I find very cool. And I cannot wait to hear you, man.
I appreciate that.
Did a little homework beforehand, and you sound great. You're natural at this. You are only going to get more and more stronger at this. I'm very much looking forward to your season.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I'm excited.
Not just this season, brother. I'm going to follow your career. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing where you go with things and stuff. So more power to you, and congratulations. And thank you so much for visiting our city, bringing coming to our town and everything like that. We're going to treat you good. We appreciate you being
appreciate
here.
That. Yeah,
well, and that's what I tried warning them on the way here. I'm like, this is they love us. You know, this is home.
Yeah.
The city loves us. The station loves us. And we appreciate what this station does for the Rafters. And again, I still get messages from people that just love listening to our show and love listening to our broadcasters and continuing again what Brett and are doing, John Vicari and all what they're doing now is incredible. And Joey's been in contact with them as well. So there's a passing of the torch type of thing that happens in the press box.
I love that.
And it is. And that's what it's about. You know, it's, hey, he did 72 games. He can share the good, the bad, the ugly.
And
kind of he can take that and change it and make it his personal way.
We are a week away from opening day. God, that feels good to say. You guys, we are a week away from opening day. The Rafters kick off their season next Monday against the Lakeshore Chinooks. Very excited about that. But before we get there, I did want to touch on one great event going on today over at the ballpark. If you can, we encourage you to donate. You can be a superhero. You don't need the tights, the cape, the tragic backstory, and a catchphrase. And plus, all the good superheroes are kind of taken. Like, you know, Batman, all that stuff. We're going to be, you know, there's no great names. You can be a superhero just by donating blood. It's a lot easier, a lot simpler. Over at the Wisconsin Rapids ballpark today, that they are doing this at 521 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Donate and receive a coupon for up to 4 outdoor water park passes to Mount Olympus while supplies last. We greatly appreciate this. We've talked quite a bit about how important it is to donate and how much we need this nowadays. So if you can donate, please encourage you to do that. 11 to 3 today. Make sure to eat a healthy meal, drink plenty of water before going down there and being that superhero. Encourage you to do that. As a side note, Iron Man, Thor, they always are hydrated. Right. Always hydrated. They don't show you that in the movies, but stay very hydrated before they do things.
Yeah, no, and just to throw in one more thing, we actually are throwing in, for those who walk up and donate, we are going to throw in opening day tickets for that as well. So we will have printed off opening day next week, Monday's tickets ready for you that you can just walk in and attend the game for opening day.
That's really cool. Nice added bonus on there. I respect that. That is very cool. I do know that our audience has been wondering about schedules and when those are coming out.
Yeah, so right now we are working on our pocket schedules that you usually see all around town, the little kind of pocket ones. We have everything online, is what I will say. So everything as of up to date right now, promotional schedule, game times, all that fun stuff is on our website. Feel free to come talk to us in the ticket office, at our office. I've got, again, a new box office intern who's excited and is actually from the Stevens Point area. So he's very familiar and loves kind of meeting new fans and talking to him. So come down and see us. We love now that we're kind of open and getting the stadium ready, that to invite fans to come down and get ready for opening day and get ready for this season. It's going to be a short one. It always seems so short, but it's fun, and we enjoy the time that we have in the 36 home games that we play.
Cannot wait. We're looking so forward to this. And Tyler, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more, just reach out to the Rafters or anything. How can they reach you?
Yeah, of course. Calling the office, again, you may not get directly to me right away as I'm running around a lot of the time, but our box office intern will be able to answer the majority of questions and be able to pass all that on. So feel free to give us our office a call. And then we have just a generic info at raftersbaseball.com email that if you have any questions, that gets forwarded to me, and I can respond as quick as I can on all that kind of fun stuff.
Appreciate the time, you guys. Thanks so much for coming in and hanging out with us. We're looking forward to a great season, and we'll talk with you guys again real soon.
No, of course. Yeah, again, we appreciate what you guys do. We're looking forward to having Joey on the air for 72 games. He'll be nice and energized for all 72, even long road trips that he heads to Michigan and Indiana. some of the stuff I haven't shared with him yet, but he'll just find out on his own.
Oh, yeah. It's coming. We're so looking forward to hearing you, Joey. Thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you again for having me. I appreciate it.
Appreciate the time, guys. We're going to take a break, but I want to encourage you to bookmark northwoodsleague.com. That is where all the information you're going to look for, Rafters baseball, information coming up, tickets, all that stuff, northwoodsleague.com. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with your call. Seth will be joining us and more on Playmakers here at WFHR. Playmakers proudly brought to you by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers for this May 22nd, 2023. I have your host, James, and I am joined by our head of production, my partner in art, and the guy that I just love talking sports with, Mr. Seth Haphacker.
Good morning, everyone.
Thanks for being here, Seth. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty darn good.
Good to hear.
It's Monday. It's time to talk some sports.
Well,
woo, sports! Oh, sorry.
Especially with your ball team isn't doing too bad either, so it might not be in a bad spirit.
You know, they're at that point where they're like, win one, lose one.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating. You know, it's like, I'm yay, they're winning. They won a game. Really great. Oh, no, they lost one. No, they won a game. Oh, man.
I want a big shout out to Tyler and Joey there for joining us from our Rafters. Certainly, we'll talk some more baseball as we go along here. And I did want to touch on a couple of big ones, including losing an icon over the weekend. But first, the show is all about you guys. Let's take your calls. Good morning. You're on the show.
Yeah, James. I have tickets for the first two Rafters game. And plus, I have a ticket for this Saturday's game, the Brewers and Giants in Milwaukee. Wow. So three games in 4 days. I'm going to be watching.
That is awesome.
That sounds like heaven, man.
That really does. Like, both Seth and I were floating as we were hearing you say that. Oh, that sounds so awesome. I'm really happy for you. That is going to be fun. You do have one thing you got to do, though. You got to let us know next Tuesday how it went. I want to hear how it went next Tuesday, if that's okay, if you get time.
Right. Yeah. All right. I also went to see the Timber Rattlers play on May 13th down in Appleton. Oh. And I got to see the Brewers' number one draft choice, mm-hmm. Eric Brown Jr. play.
Mm. Yeah.
From last year's number one draft choice. Yeah. He had two hits, two stolen bases, and two runs scored.
Mm. Nice.
There's something so cool about that. I will never forget seeing Ben Zobrist playing for the Kane County Cougars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I know Ben Zobrist isn't a Hall of Famer or anything like that or anything, yeah. but I'll never forget it, seeing it and stuff, and then seeing him in the major leagues and all that. Mm-hmm. There's something like, do all of us inside, all of us want to be scouts? is that where a lot of this comes from, where we like seeing these guys in the Northwoods League or something like that? And we're like, oh, I think this kid's going to be good. And we tell our friends, yeah. like, hey, you see this kid? He's going to be good. Like, we're all wannabe scouts.
Finding the diamond in the rough, right? Yes. Seeing the guy that's like, yeah, I picked that guy. He's great, man.
There's something about it.
Yeah. Hey, when you go to the Timber Rattlers game, it's only 85 miles away. So it's an hour and a half to get there. And I go by myself, so I get a box seat right down by the field there for $17. How can you, the same ticket costs you $100 in Milwaukee?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right, yeah, you can't beat that.
And you're seeing kids that are gonna make it. A lot of those kids are gonna make it to the major leagues.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, Peralta, he was there. Joey Weimer was there, and
that's
many
awesome.
Of our upcoming players are all gone through Appleton.
Yeah, that's right.
Really encourage others to do this, and really appreciate you sharing it with us, sir.
Yep.
We'll talk to you next Tuesday and see how it went.
All right.
Have a good time. Have nice. A blast. Enjoy yourself.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
It really is.
Yeah.
Anthony Rizzo was going to make his debut with the Cubs, but it was going to be the game after that I was at.
Oh.
And I was all kicking myself because there was all this hype and everything about him, and people were really excited. And, you know, Theo Epstein had just gotten there, so there was some hope in Chicago, in the north side of Chicago and everything. And it was my first ever Cubs game I went to. Rizzo ended up pitch hitting in the game. And so I got to see his first as bad as a Cub.
Oh, wow.
And in our house, at least, he's an icon as far as Cubs.
Gee, I wonder
Cub
why.
Go. Yeah, yeah. You bring a World Series to that team, to that
man,
fan base and everything. It was so cool to be at that game and to hear the crowd and stuff, especially now seeing where his career has gone and everything.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I did want to touch on something in a moment, but first some breaking, just broke a little bit about a half an hour ago. Carmelo Anthony has announced his retirement from the NBA after 19 seasons.
Wow.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Won a title at Syracuse with Jim Boeheim, and never got to the big game in his, as a pro, but certainly one of the more iconic shooters and iconic careers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had almost forgotten he was still playing.
I think a lot of people.
And I'm not trying to, bad. I mean, anyone who lasts 19 years in any sport, that's saying something.
Ranked ninth in NBA history on the points list.
Wow. I mean, top 10?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I don't think I even knew that.
No.
And I've paid very close attention to his career.
Top 10 of anything, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had quite the career.
And by now, most of you have heard. If you had not, the Cleveland Browns legend. You don't hear that very often.
No.
And I'm not trying to be mean by that or anything. You just don't. You know, there's Jim Brown. And then who's the next? Bernie Kosar?
Otto Graham, I would say.
I was going to say Otto Graham. I was going to throw that in there.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to go a little modern for, but that was my catch.
Exactly.
I went modern, and I went with Bernie Kosar.
Yeah. Kevin Mack? I mean,
yeah,
what are you doing?
Right?
Yeah.
It's been a while. It's been a while for the Cleveland fan base and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, over the weekend, Jim Brown did pass away. Passed away Thursday of natural causes. He was 87 years old. He had his wife and family there near him and everything. Jim played only 9 years in the NFL from 1957 to 1965, all with the Browns. He won 8 league rushing titles and 3 MVP awards, and he never missed a game. And keep this in mind, too.
Right.
Didn't miss a play. Didn't miss a down. Jim, need you out there. Jim was out there. Like, didn't matter if he was blocking or if he was running, he was out there. He also had a long, successful acting career. I mentioned this before. Nobody will ever retire better than Jim Brown. Jim Brown retired on the set of The Dirty Dozen.
That's a good retirement plan to start
with.
Cool
way.
Get into a major motion picture, yeah.
The Dirty Dozen, Three the Hard Way, also had a great run in the 80s and 90s, The Running Man, Mars Attacks, He Got Game, Any Given Sunday, but definitely my favorite performance of his is I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. He was so good at it. He does it straight-faced. He does it very Leslie Nielsen-like, with all the silliness and crazy in my darn big toe. And it is so good. It's so funny to see Jim Brown doing comedy.
Yes.
I'm so glad we got that.
Man.
One of the icons. I have to say, I think the greatest athlete I ever saw was Walter Payton. So certainly I think the greatest running back I ever saw was Walter Payton.
Right.
I'm also biased. Incredibly, amazingly, humongously biased when it comes to this. Am I wrong? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Three down back, Walter could block at a 10, catch at a 10, run at a 10, never ran out of bounds, never missed a play, all these things. Missed one game in his whole life. But Walter will be the first to tell you that the greatest running back of all time was Jim Brown. So how am I going to argue with Walter Payton about who the greatest was?
You're in a bind, man.
Yeah, I just told you that Jim Brown never missed a game, never missed a play. Walter got that from him. Jim Brown never ran out of bounds. Walter got that from him. So I can't give credit to Walter when Walter's giving credit to Jim Brown and not say that Jim Brown may be the greatest of all time.
No, you can't. We're kind of really so far back now. It's hard to know, and you can see film of Jim Brown running and stuff. But it's not like today where you could dissect every single play and anything like that when everything was on television. It was just starting on television at that point for football. So there's not a whole lot out there. But if you talk to the people who played with him and against him and everything, they will tell you, yeah, he was the greatest I ever saw. And you have to give them a lot of you have to give them. Some seriousness with that because they know what they're talking about. If they're playing against him, they knew who he was, and he was the guy that would run over people. You know, you would hear linebackers say, "Yeah." After every play, maybe he was a little slow to get up, but that was just an act. He was a good actor to begin with,
yes,
you know.
He was, yes.
And then he would just plow over the guy again on the next play.
All over social media, there's been some great footage, highlights of him and everything. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorite highlights was actually him in the booth watching Earl Campbell run. And you hear him, and he sounds like a little kid. He's so excited to watch Earl Campbell run. It was so awesome.
My favorite all-time back.
Definitely. Oh, yeah?
Earl Campbell? Yeah.
Nice. That's a good choice. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Doing good. How are you, sir?
Oh, it's a beautiful Monday morning and a beautiful weekend. Fort Worth, did you ask?
Yeah, right. Yeah. What's on your mind today?
You guys talk about Jim Brown and you know, the legacy that he put on. You know, I always said if I had a kid, I mean, I had two boys, but they just didn't turn out the way I was hoping with being athletic.
I hear you there.
But, I mean, you wish you had film study of Jim Brown and some of those guys back in those days, because I've always said I would always want to have if I had a son that was lean and mean, I would like to maybe have him, you know, run like Ron Dane and run guys over. Mm. Or if I had a short little quick guy, have someone, you know, show him films of Barry Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but to have the film study of these athletes that were back in the day, they didn't take time off.
Right.
Nope.
If they had a broken finger, if they had a broken toe or even a broken arm, a lot of time, even during the game, those guys just said, split me up, let's go, I'm going.
Yeah.
And they got paid squat.
Yeah.
Oh, especially in comparison to today. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you sit there and think, well, what would these guys be like in today's game? You can't compare that. I mean, the same thing as taking Jack Nicklaus, and have him, you know, compare him to Tiger Woods because the equipment is so much better compared to when Jack first started. You know, things like that. I mean, but the icons that you saw back in the day, even, you know, look at all the, you know, Paul Hornish. You know, some of those other guys that were all down backs, and you know, they didn't have specialty. That was they played. They ran the ball.
Yep.
They knew how to catch the ball. You know, it was just they knew how to block. It was, yeah, I just wish they had guys like that nowadays, you know. And
yeah, I was doing this with my dad. We were talking about, like, we do this all the time with comps. Like, oh, who would be a comp nowadays to this athlete or this player?
Right.
I have nobody. I have no comp for Jim Brown.
Yeah.
I would be stretching so far that it wouldn't even add up. It wouldn't even be an example or anything like that. There's just, they don't make them like that.
One of a kind. Yeah. Absolutely one of a kind. Yep.
I mean, you can't comp anything, especially, you know, everybody tries to comp LeBron James or Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
You can't, I don't think you can comp that because the game is totally different from when Jordan, I mean, Cripps, Jordan, how many times did he get clothesline going down the middle, you know?
Yeah.
Got his feet taken out from underneath him. It just, you don't see that nowadays.
No.
Nowadays, there's like an invisible force field around certain NBA players where nobody seems to want to make a move on them or try to steal the ball or anything like that. Part of that is, too, how quickly they are to call fouls on reach-ins and that kind of stuff nowadays.
Right.
Like, I don't even think they had that as a rule in the 80s. Like, there was the reaching
in. It was on the books, but they never called it. Yeah,
they never. Like, it was like how much they called traveling. Like, yeah, it was about the same, yeah.
Yeah, you're Bill Laimbeer, you come in the middle. It's
not gonna be good. I mean, so that's a funnier one. For usually we say, okay, you put Jim Brown in today's teams or something like that. It's a little funnier when you grab a guy like Bill Laimbeer and put him in today's NBA. I think Bill Laimbeer could make it in the NBA. I just don't know how many times he'd be, you know, kicked out of games.
I was going to say, how many games would he actually play in?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Then he gets suspended and then...
Yes, the suspensions and stuff. Man, I'm so glad I got to see 80s basketball. 80s and 90s basketball. Yeah. I was so
physical,
glad I got to see it.
Yeah. Physical basketball. Oh, yeah.
You would have to see anything for any sport, even baseball. If you take, you go from about mid-90s South.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's the era of sports. Yeah. Once they started getting all these big contracts and, my toe hurts, I can't run up and down the basketball court, or I pulled a toenail or something, it's just...
I've never met anybody to this day that loves a team like my papa loved the Chicago Cubs. I never met anybody like his dedication and how much he loved that team and everything. And I, as long as I live, will never forget being a kid and him sitting there on the TV. And then spring training or something like that. And they're wondering like, oh, where's our second baseman? Where's Ryan? Oh, Ryan Sandberg's holding out for a contract.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
And my papa turned the TV off. He looked at me and he's like, Jimmy, they might as well go out there with lawyers and briefcases instead of mitts. Like, he just couldn't handle it anymore. I mean, he still watched a little baseball for a little while, but he would eventually leave the game. Mm-hmm. And where he didn't watch a game in baseball for over 10 years until the Cubs were in the World Series, he watched that deciding those couple of deciding mm-hmm. games, and that was he hasn't gone back. He hasn't watched it since.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how much he misses it. I know how much he loves the game. But to your point, sir, I know some people, including a lot of older people out there, just they can't do it. I don't blame you. What he does now, he watches high school sports and stuff like that. He gets more into that now, and he still gets his baseball fix. Appreciate the call. Thanks so much for the time. I don't know if it's like this for everybody or not, but I think that the bigger these deals get and stuff, it's crazy. But I don't get as upset about the athletes because I think of the owners.
Yeah.
I think of the billions and billions of dollars these owners are getting.
Right.
And how much that they're still making it hard on fans. I haven't gotten to the players' contracts because I'm still all focused on how much the owners are making.
Yeah, and I understand why people do, you know, I totally get it. It's like, oh my gosh, what are these guys getting paid to play a game kind of thing? Mm. And yeah, that's true. They are getting paid a lot of money to play a game. Of course, I consider it part of the entertainment industry. And if you're going to pay actors, you know, millions of dollars to be in a movie, yeah. I guess it makes sense because they're the ones that are creating the revenue.
Right.
People go to movies to do what? To see movie stars, right? They don't go to see producers.
Yep.
That's not why they do it. Yep. People go to sporting events to see the players, not the owners. Right. So they're the ones that create the wealth. They should, in my opinion, they should have the lion's share of the reward. So
yeah.
I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. And I think you see a lot more of people trying to be supportive of athletes mm-hmm. and players. But there also is, you know, plenty of people out there that are still always going to take the side of ownership.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to have that back.
And that's fine. I have nothing against that. But
Let's go ahead and take our final break right now. Let's get that out of the way. We'll take our break. We'll come back. We'll take some more of your phone calls and talk some more sports here on Playmakers, being brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to Playmakers on this Monday. Hope it's treating you good. Big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Thank you for sponsoring the show. Greatly appreciate you. 424-2600. We got a little over 15 minutes to take your calls. We got plenty of time. Mm-hmm. Call up and join the conversation. 424-2600. Call up, and we'll be talking with you soon.
Yeah.
So, Seth, did you have anything you wanted to touch on over this sports weekend? Was there anything in your mind? Because I had a different direction to take us today.
Not really. Let's do something a little different. I'm fine with that.
So recently, they're in Little League news.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
We don't go very often. No. Usually the Little League World Series, maybe that's about it. But mm-hmm. we're talking Little League right now because I want to know what you guys think of this one, my fellow sports crazy fans out there, because I am one of you. 424-2600. I want to get your take on this, everybody. Little League is where we're going, and a town in New Jersey has already had several umpires walk off after being harassed by parents. So they have come up with a punishment, quote-unquote punishment. If you're caught berating an umpire during a game, you'll be banned from the complex unless you agree to suit up as an umpire yourself and call three games.
Ooh, three games.
The idea is if you're such a know-it-all, grab some gear and get behind the backstop. Step behind. Mm-hmm. Naturally, most of these loudmouths actually don't know baseball as well, so there will still be some certified umpires there to help them call the games, along with some training that is available.
It's even worse.
This is seeing a huge, huge supporting.
Like, nice.
Local parents and Little League officials love this idea, and it is catching on to other ballparks around.
That's awesome.
I'm curious to know how the audience feels about this. But, of course, you guys can take this any direction you want. It's your show. Let's go ahead and see where you're going. Good morning. You're on the show.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, not too bad. I got a few things to touch on, but I do like that Little League rule. That is I thought I heard it was one game, but three games will really make parents think twice about talking.
Yeah, that's a commitment. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I really do like that. Yeah. What else is on your mind?
Well, I got three different sports for you, and I got a fact of the day that's really interesting. I heard over the weekend.
All right. Nice.
You were talking about Cleveland Browns, and I just thought of a few off the top of my head, and a little trip down memory lane, but don't forget Eric Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I am mad at myself. How did I forget Eric? One of the greatest returners of all time, kick and punt returner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good reference. Nice one.
Clay Matthews.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, gotta mention. Who played, how many years? Yeah. 20 years? Yeah. However long he played.
Yeah.
Ozzie Newsome.
Yo, not only one of the best tight ends in history, one of the greatest general managers in history. Mm-hmm. What he set up in Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
yeah, on and off the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really exactly.
Joe Thomas, and my favorite of all of them, maybe not a legend, but Vinny Testaverde.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, I forgot he ended up there and later in his career. I totally forgot that.
That one was for Seth.
Yes, nice. Very well done. God, that's a good list.
Yeah,
nicely done, man. And he did that. In 5 minutes you came up with that? Like, nicely done.
Oh, man.
That's a good list. Got to mention Joe Thomas. Here in Wisconsin, we have to mention Joe Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to get him in there. And then, jumping sports, you were talking about Bill Laimbeer, and I was thinking, what would happen if Bill Laimbeer played Draymond Green?
A boxing match would break out, I think.
I'd like to see them one on one, but one on one to 10, and just see who can even get to 5 first. That would be interesting. That's good.
My fact that I heard over the weekend is a baseball fact, and I saw that Tony Gwynn could have gone 0 for 1,199 at bats and still finished with a 300 average.
It's just insane. insane.
The he goes in the conversation of greatest hitters of all time.
Yes.
He has to be in that conversation, yeah.
Tony, I agree with you. And Tony Gwynn is the greatest hitter I've ever seen,
mm-hmm.
like by far and away. But I am so, like, I did grow up with the biggest Tony Gwynn fan in the world. My buddy Chris is a diehard guy, a diehard Tony Gwynn guy.
He was my number two. He was my number two favorite player.
I just thought of a bonus fact.
Mm.
Of the people that hit 3,000 hits in their major league career, at age 25, Ichiro had zero.
Mm, my gosh. Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Can you?
So he had 3,000 major league hits in the time that he spent from 25 till he retired.
Yes.
That's
another insane fact.
Yeah.
Add together his Japanese league right. hits, and he's got what? How many hits? Like 4,000 or 5,000? I can't remember how many hits it is. It's ridiculous.
Is it the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame or just Baseball Hall of Fame?
It's just Major League. It's American baseball. Yeah.
I think the Basketball Hall of Fame did this right. I think all Hall of Fame should be just the sport. I think that'd be a cool way to do it.
Absolutely.
You know, you could still have your college Hall of Fames. You could still have your local, you know, those things. But I think that it encompasses so much more. It brings so much more, so many more people into it and everything. I like it.
It celebrates the sport better. Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Always good talking to you, man. Thank
you
for
the call.
Yeah,
that was great.
Yep. Have a great day.
Have a good week, guys, and roll rats.
It's only a week away.
We'll see you at the ballpark, man.
Yep. Wow.
All right. Good call. Great call. Great calls.
Yeah.
Today, you guys.
Yeah. Excellent.
I had to bring up a couple of these just to piggyback on that. The historic 1994 season in which Tony Gwynn batted 394, the closest anyone has come to hitting 400 since Ted Williams did so, was cut short by the strike.
Mm-hmm.
Could Gwynn have reached 400? Speculation, but he was batting 423, 472, and 613 in the second half that year.
Jeez.
Rather famously, Gwynn struck out 3 times in a game, only once in his whole career.
Once.
And it was against Bob Welch. The good
once.
Pitcher. Yeah, one time.
He played how many years? Oh, my gosh. How many plate appearances? I can't.
20 years.
I can't wrap my mind around that.
Including postseason play, Gwynn faced 18 Hall of Fame pitchers for a total of 541 plate appearances. That's essentially a full season's worth of plate appearances, exactly, exclusively against Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
Against them, Gwynn batted 331. In his entire 20-year career, Gwynn struck out 434 times, an average of 21 Ks per season. Last season, 129 players had struck out 22 times by mid-April.
Mid-April? That's insane.
Gwynn batted 300 in every season but his rookie year, giving him a record 19 straight seasons over 300. J.D. Martinez is the current leader with 4.
Oh my gosh. Oh no, he was something special. Tony Gwynn was something special.
On 45 separate occasions, Gwynn recorded 4 hits in a game, 11 more times than he recorded a multi-strikeout game. We keep just going with this. Insane.
If you ever get a chance, read what his training regimen was.
Yeah.
How he prepared for every game. It's insane. What he did, he watched tape, endless tape. He was in the batting cage constantly. There was no mistake that he was that good.
Yeah.
He worked so hard at it.
And this doesn't even take into consideration that in a parallel universe, we don't even get Tony Gwynn, the baseball player, because he was so good at basketball.
He's an NBA star.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Let's take a phone call. Good morning, you're on the show.
Yeah, I don't know if I can call twice, but Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra only struck out 12 times one season.
Yes.
Nobody's ever come close to that.
No.
All the kids today strike out 12 times in a week.
Yeah. That's a great one. You can always call up twice, and especially with a stat like that.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Nicely done, sir.
Over a five-year seasons, he had the lowest amount of strikeouts ever.
It's incredible. That's just incredible.
5 years.
Right.
5 years in a row. Yeah.
For an everyday player,
He was only like 5'10", 5'7".
Yeah.
That guy was only 5'7".
It's incredible.
An awesome, awesome catcher.
Yes. Yeah. One of the greats all time. Thank you, sir. Appreciate the call.
One of the reasons for that was he was considered one of the best bad ball hitters in Major League history. And after he retired, you know, they asked him about that. They said, you know, you were considered, you know, you can't throw a ball past Yogi. He'll hit it no matter where you throw it. And he's like, they look good to me.
So I don't. You can have the argument if he was the greatest catcher of all time. You can't argue the greatest quote machine of all time.
Oh, no, no.
That, Yogi Berra, not only a Hall of Famer, not only one of the greatest catchers of all time, but the GOAT at quotes.
At great quotes, yeah. Absolutely.
Just two more I have to get in here. Okay. Since World War II, Gwynn is the only player to bat 350 in five consecutive seasons. Ty Cobb, Roger Hornsby, and Al Simmons did it so before. Mm-hmm. Only the only four to ever do it. In the past 100 years, nobody has more batting titles than Gwynn's eight. Only Ty Cobb, who won 12, all before 1920.
Yep.
And Tony Gwynn, I don't remember this one. Tony Gwynn was Mr. Opening Day. For years, they called him Tony Gwynn Opening Day because Gwynn's affection for the fans who showed up for games for the game, you know, it just meant so much to him. Mm-hmm. He always wanted to give him a good performance. He batted 403, 439, and 500 in game twos in his career.
Oh my gosh!
An incredible athlete.
He was something else. And when he came up, man, he stole bases.
Yeah.
He stole 50 bases in a year in the late 80s. And he was also a gold glove outfielder, right fielder. He had a great arm. He was the only thing he didn't do was hit for a lot of power, but that just wasn't his game.
Yeah.
His swing was tailored to go the other way and everything. I think he could hit like 14. He could get into the teens, but he wasn't interested in hitting home runs. He really wasn't.
424-2600. Got 5 minutes left to show. We'd like to fill it with your phone calls. I am curious, and we don't have to just talk about it today. We can talk about this all baseball season. I want to know how people feel about these umpires, about the fans, you know, the unruly fans, the fans that ruin it for all of us, and what to do about that. We're in a society now where it's not just fans that are like that. Politicians, all kinds of people are like this and everything. Yeah. We're not getting very much better about this. I think we could actually have sports be the thing that helps us with this. Where way too many people treat their political affiliations like their sports teams.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm really sick and tired of that. Yeah. It is not a sports team. You cannot treat them as the same thing. They
Please
are
do
two
not.
Very different things.
Yep.
But I'm curious as we go along here that maybe sports can teach us some stuff about not only sportsmanship, but about empathy and how to treat each other. I mentioned as a little kid, the biggest thing in the world with me was seeing hockey players shaking hands
after
the
game
and
yeah.
stuff. Something like this seems like a pretty good idea. Oh, you think it's so good? You think you can do politics better? Maybe we need to get you in politics, maybe.
Hey.
Good morning. You're on the show.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, good morning. How are you, sir?
You know, it's quite a heavyweight fight there on that golf tournament yesterday.
Yeah. That went right down to the wire from what I could understand.
And then Mr. Block, he beat John Rahm by 35 shots.
Yeah, which is not down to the wire.
That's insane.
I don't know much about golf, but to me, that's kind of like a whooping.
Yeah, that is a whooping. Yeah.
I talked about him all day, and then he hit that hole in one.
Oh,
yeah. It's a beautiful sport especially when it's played like that.
But it looks good, yeah.
Not when I play it. No.
That's why I gave it up.
Always good to talk to you, sir. You have a great day and a good week.
Yeah, you guys too.
Thank you. 424-2600. Really appreciate all the calls today.
Yeah, good stuff.
Appreciate Tyler and Joey joining us from our rafters. That was a lot of fun. You're going to hear Joey all season long, rafter baseball right here at WFHR. Just a quick programming note again, everybody, that played... I had my back to the door, and as I was about to go into this, Pam brought in the note. That was awesome.
Perfect timing.
Our chemistry, Pam. I bet you Pam and I could pull off a double play.
Yeah, you
I
could.
Bet you we'd have the chemistry to pull off a double play.
Good keystone combo right there. Yes. Yeah.
For our audience, next Monday, we will not have any original or our live shows. We will not be live next Monday. So keep that in mind, everybody. We will have, of course, Playmakers, but it'll be on Tuesday. It'll be the next day that we'll do Playmakers. So not the typical way that we usually do this next week.
Yep.
So next week, Tuesday, Playmakers, be sure to bring us your sports thoughts and feelings, especially after we will be coming out of the first game of Rafters Baseball.
Because,
again, a reminder, Rafters Baseball kicks off on Memorial Day on the 29th, next Monday. We're a week away. 6:35 is opening pitch as they host the Lakeshore Chinooks.
Yep.
I am so excited about Rafter baseball this season. Mm-hmm. We have had a lot of signings over the last couple of weeks. And a pair of 22 All-Stars are returning for another season as well. We talked about this with Tyler last week. Very excited about that. Garrett Brossard, Josh Hewitt, going to be joining the team again. That's
all right.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Hewitt last year had an 8-0 record, 2.43 ERA in 22.
That's some good pitching there.
And Brossard didn't have the most amazing stats possibly, but I remember that name being brought up so
solid
when it came solid to highlights player. Too and wins.
Mm-hmm.
So excited about this season. I can't speak for the audience, but I know we had a really like a record-breaking season last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I really treat every season new. Mm-hmm. I'm not holding them to that standard.
No.
I really am coming into – I've been able to do this every season of Rafter baseball. I can't always do this with my pro teams, but I tend to do this with the Rafters.
Yep.
All bets are off.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Partially that's because of the turnover of the roster. You know, you really don't know. I mean, you can – and I'm sure they do as good a scouting as anybody and all that. But, it's one of those things because you don't know – you know, who they're getting for the year. It's kind of a different thing every year.
It's a really hard thing to predict.
It's a really hard thing to
project when it comes to that kind of thing. So I don't know. I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes.
Yep.
Let's take the last minute to talk a little NBA.
All right.
And I'm only using a minute on it because it's never been less exciting.
Yeah, pretty boring.
If I was pressed, it may be my favorite sport to watch is basketball. Mm-hmm. I love basketball or hockey. One of the two.
Yep.
You know, I love watching basketball. I've never been more bored in my life. I don't ever remember it being this boring where it looks like I know the Lakers are trying. But it doesn't seem like it.
Mm.
Like, I know they are. You don't have LeBron James and not try.
Yeah.
And they're down 3-0 to Denver. And I don't know what's going on with Boston. Like, there's no way on paper Boston should be down 3-0, let alone, like, down at all in this series.
Especially against Miami, yeah.
But Chicago, Marquette's own Jimmy Butler is a different animal, baby. Like, that kid's just a different
He's
animal.
He's insane, man.
Yeah. And I want them to get through these rounds, and I want Denver, Miami, and I want to see Jokic and Jimmy and these two, like, crazy people going at each other trying to win this title.
Because they keep saying it every round. Miami can't. They can't do it. Again.
Right,
they can't do it again. Yeah. They can't do it again. They're going to get beat. Well, the only thing is that they will have a tough, if they do pull it off here, they will have a tough mountain to climb
against
the Nuggets. I'm guessing the Nuggets will probably wrap this up shortly because the Nuggets, I think, are probably the best team right now.
I think so. Yeah. They're playing, and they got a healthy Jamal Murray.
Yep.
They are really hitting on all cylinders, and they've got a guy. The thing with Jokic that I find so interesting is it feels like we're seeing him already, like, at 20-year career. Like, his game is going to age so well because he doesn't jump. He's not going to hurt
his
himself.
His knees will be nice or will be fine. Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing to watch. Be here next Tuesday for another edition of Playmakers, everybody. And thank you to the best listeners and radio for calling up and joining us. And a shout-out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out, sponsoring the show. Get out of here for now, but enjoy your day, everyone. Oh, I like the way Steph says this. Right here on
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and